Good evening. You are very welcome to the Health and Fitness Show on Midlands 103. I am Dr. Diane Cooper. I am your host. And as you know, on the show, we cover everything in relation to health and fitness and wellness and nutrition. And on the show today, we have Emma Ryan. She is a senior occupational therapist working in mental health. And of course, it was Mental Health Day on the 10th of October. So Emma is going to chat to us all about self-care, which is so, so, so important. We'll also be speaking with Olivia Sheeran, who is running the upcoming Dublin City Marathon. And of course, Ruth is going to join us with her top tips and recipe for the week. What will you be doing on Sunday, the 30th of October? Is there any chance you feel like running 26.2 miles or 42.2 kilometres? Probably in a bit of wind and a rain and a bit of cold. Any takers? Well, that's exactly what our next guest is going to do. I'm delighted to be joined by Olivia Sheeran from St. Michael's Running Club in Port Arlington. And she is just a couple of weeks out now from the Dublin City Marathon. Olivia, it's lovely to have you with me. Thanks a million for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Diane. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Are you looking forward to it?
I am. I like the marathons.
People who are running marathons, you generally have quite a good kind of running history. How long are you running for?
Well, I'm running 17 years.
17 years.
Now.
Yeah, wow. And have you always been interested in the long distance?
For the last 10 years, probably. Before that, no, it was 10 years now.
10 years now. And can I ask, Olivia, because you know yourself, and I've done a number of endurance events as well. And for people maybe who haven't done it, so they don't understand kind of the experience of the journey and like the achievement when you get to the finish line, and they'll often just come up and say, "Oh, you're mad." So, can I just ask why do you like the endurance events? And so why like kind of what do you get from them?
Oh, well, I'd probably just like going out there and just losing myself in running and continue running and the outside air. I don't know. It's just, I don't know to be truthful about that question. I just enjoy running and I enjoy being outside. Probably that's the answer I'd give there.
Yeah. And I know, like I just from chatting to you, I know that you do like lots of different types of running. Now, we'll actually come on to that now about your training, but I know you do kind of mountain running and you do hill running and you do, you know, sprint sessions and you do road running, and you're running in lots of different types of environments as well. But I would agree with you there about the outdoors and kind of losing yourself in your run. Like when you're running, you can't be doing anything else. So you're very focused on that and kind of really embracing that. And I suppose, you know, no matter what the weather, no matter, you know, what the type of session is, don't you always feel an awful lot better in every way once you've finished your run?
Oh, it's just unbelievable the difference between a before run and an after run. You'll never get it anywhere else. Nowhere else you get that feeling of just it's nearly an exciting feeling after a run that you get, especially when you're out there for a good few hours or for a long session. Even if you're on your own, it's unbelievable when you come back into the house how you feel. I can't describe how you feel.
Yeah, and no, I totally agree with you. And this is going to sound a bit strange, like, you know, because you mentioned when you've been out for a few hours, and of course that's a very important part of training for the marathon. But so even though you're running and of course you're exercising, but isn't there kind of, there's a big feeling of calmness and actually your body relaxing and your mind relaxing after a run. Does that make sense?
It really does. It's you know, a lot of people ask me about running and all that. It's unbelievable the mental release you get when you run. At the end of the day, of course, it's about the physical side, but the mental side is just, it's unbelievable. You'll get it absolutely nowhere else.
Yeah, I think it's nice to chat about that and to highlight it, because when you're not involved in this, or maybe not involved in any type of exercise, people can be thinking about the kind of the physical side of it and, oh God, that sounds like hardship and that's, you know, maybe something that I wouldn't like to do. But I think most people who do run or cycle or swim or do whatever it is that you do, it becomes something else then. When this is part of your daily life and your routine, it's actually something that's really important to not only keep you physically healthy, but to really help you, help all of us mentally through, you know, good times and bad times and life in general. I think it's lovely to kind of highlight that aspect of it.
Well, for me, Diane, when I started running on a treadmill in my own house, was to lose weight. To lose weight after having a child and feel a bit better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you now, the weight has nothing to do with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's to get out there and feel good about myself and feel that feeling that I get after a run.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you, Olivia. And I'm sure there are thousands of people all over Ireland who would be maybe have started for that reason, and now they run for completely different reasons. But speaking of running, you're doing a lot of running at the moment, obviously. So you're training for the marathon. Now, the marathon, yeah, of course, as you know deeply, is 26.2 miles. It is not an easy feat. You have to do very structured training. You have to be consistent with your training. You have to do different types of training to be able to do the marathon, do it comfortably, feel good and recover well. So this marathon would have been a while in the planning for you. So when did you start your training for this?
I started my training in June for this marathon. Now, I would have, to be truthful with me, I would be running long distance all year, but that's me. I'm mm-hmm. different. But people normally start around June to start into the long run. They probably have a level of probably about 10 miles, 12 miles. They're up there at that time,
mm-hmm.
and then they start building on to their long, slow runs on a Sunday. But during the week, then it's more just, as you said earlier, it's more hill repeats, or it could be speed sessions, a nice, easy run during the week, a tempo run. There's a whole go of different ones, but the long, slow run on the Sunday is what will get you to the 42K. The 42.2K on the marathon day. The rest of them will get you if you want speed and all that, but the long, slow run is the one that's going to get you there.
Yeah, I think that's important. So it's the long, slow run, and you should be even though they're long distance, obviously, you should be relatively comfortable on your long, slow run. That's kind of the key to building that aerobic base. Yeah.
That is the key. And you know what? It took me a few years to realise that, okay, you don't have to go out there every single time and beat the road. The long, slow run is the one that gets me all my marathons and ultras and all that. It's that one that gets me there.
Yeah, absolutely. And will you give us an idea, Olivia, of even this past training week? Now, I know, so what are we, 3 weeks out from the marathon? So obviously you've been building up, but you're probably starting to wind down now. But even in the last week, will you just give us an idea of the different types of sessions that you do, so that we can get an understanding of what goes into the preparation for the marathon?
Well, we say last Sunday week, I would have done 22 mile run. Now, as I said, this is a run that is very slow. And then on Monday, I didn't do anything. On Tuesday, then I went into our club and we'd done a speed session. Then Wednesday morning, I was a divil. I went out and done 20 mile again, which I shouldn't have done. It probably would have been about 15 mile. Then on Thursday, then we went into the hills and done hill repeats. And then Friday morning, it was 10 miles. Now, that is actually probably too much to have done for that week. But now, this week, is a very, very slow, easy run, and I'm doing them. I started Sunday, it was 15 miles. Yesterday, my Monday, I done nothing. Tuesday, then, it was up into speed session again, which I didn't do. And today I'm probably about 10 miles. So you can see now to this week, I have completely started dropping off.
Yeah.
Completely now. I'm looking after myself now.
Yeah.
I'm now doing all the preparing for this marathon. So
yeah,
it's
so
gone
that's
way down this week.
That's exactly as you know, the right thing to do. So just for anyone listening, this is called tapering. So you've done all of your training. So now you're going to reap the rewards and let the repair and the recovery happen so that you're coming into the marathon in great shape. So like Olivia, you have everything in there that's needed. You have your long runs, you have your hills, because of course that gives you great strength. Then you do your speed sessions, which will give you that kind of the speed you need as well. And it'll help you with kind of higher intensity bouts that you might need during the marathon. We've been speaking with Olivia, who is preparing for the Dublin City Marathon. So she's been telling us all about why she runs, what she gets from running, and then of course the amount of running she's been doing over the last number of months in preparation for the marathon. But having spoken to Olivia earlier, I also know that she does something else that's absolutely crucial for marathon running, and that is strength and conditioning. So, Olivia, we were having a chat about this off air, about the absolute importance of strength and conditioning, and we'll talk about that now in a sec. But just to say, in my, 15, 16, 17 years of working with all types of runners and all types of distances, I often find that people are absolutely prepared to do the running and they'll run and run and run, but strength and conditioning and actually flexibility, which is stretching, are often forgotten about in the training programme. So for you, how important is strength conditioning?
Well, again, Diane, I started running to lose weight and started there, running was everything. But now this is a question I've been asked, and I have five different levels to say running, how important running is. But the first one is, for me, I can say nutrition and hydration. The second one then is flexibility. The third then is strength and conditioning. Strength and conditioning has stopped me from being injured from all these 17 years. I've never been injured once in my strength and in my running.
Mm.
Then I'm going to say the fourth one is running and the fifth one is rest. So my thought of running has gone down in the list.
In the list of priorities of everything.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Running has gone down in the priorities. So all the other things have stopped me from having to stop running through injury. And I cannot say how important strength and conditioning is to everybody. It's so important for everything. It's not just the running. It's in life itself. It's so important.
Mm.
As we get older and everything, it's so important.
Absolutely. And Olivia, would you do strength and conditioning work maybe a couple of times a week?
I do it three times a week. Three times. I do it Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
And just to give us an idea, when I say strength and conditioning, what does that mean for you? So what type of exercises would you be doing, or what type of equipment would you be using?
Well, I have the TRX. That's one thing that I've started off with, and I can't say enough about that one. But then I do weights as well, and I do a lot of core work. But when I say weights, I don't mean 15, 20 kg weights. I just mean it could be 3, 4, 5, up to 10 kg. I'm not talking about heavy weights. I'm just talking about building on my muscles and trying to strengthen my muscles. Not to get big muscles, just getting stronger for the running.
So important, yeah. And like as you said, the big thing here is, and it's quite incredible actually, is that you haven't been injured, and injuries cause us all sorts of problems physically and mentally. So you've been able to continue going and doing the things that you love. And I absolutely agree with you. The strength conditioning is a massive part of that.
Yeah, it is. But people, when you start running and get that feeling that you get from running, anyone that runs knows that if you can't go out there and run, it's the worst feeling. I see them in some people getting injured, and I see what happens to them. And that's why I'm so adamant to do all those other four things to make sure I can run. It's not about me being running. It's about doing those four things the way I can get out there and do what I love doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned strength and conditioning. So we know that obviously strengthens all of the muscles in the body, which of course is brilliant for aging, for general daily activities, general health, and essential for running. So that's strength and conditioning. In terms of the flexibility, I think this is an important one to chat about as well. And we did talk about it a few weeks ago on the show, and particularly after hard speed sessions and the long runs, because the more you use your muscles during exercise, and particularly in the long runs, they get shorter and they get tighter, and that's a natural thing for that to happen. And so in order to help ourselves recover from that, flexibility is really, really important. But, you know, the temptation, I suppose, is, well, I've been running for 3 hours, I've done my long run, and I will stretch for 1 minute and that's me done. Does that cut it for you, Olivia? Or kind of what do you mean when you talk about flexibility training?
Diane, I started a thing here myself, just doing, getting up in the morning and doing about 20 minutes to half an hour of a stretch, maybe 4 days a week. And I can tell you now, since I started that, I never have a muscle pain. After all my long, long runs, I never have a muscle pain. And before that, after long runs, you're sitting in the bath, you're trying to get rid of the pain. There's no pain. There's no soreness whatsoever because of what I'm doing of the 4 mornings a week. Flexibility is up there with strength and conditioning.
Absolutely.
It definitely is.
And that's really important, even for people who aren't training and who may never want to train or may never be inclined to train. But for people who are experiencing joint stiffness and reduced mobility, you know, reduced range of motion, pain, flexibility is an easy thing to do in terms of effort. Okay, so you won't be puffing and panting doing your stretching. But it can feel, if you're really stiff and restricted, it can feel awkward initially because you don't have the mobility to be able to do the stretches. But if you keep persisting, the evidence is there. And even Olivia, you that train so much, it absolutely makes a massive difference in terms of functional ability and reducing pain and stiffness.
It does. And as you said, Diane, it doesn't have to be anyone doing anything. It can be just going and about to doing their day's work. It makes a huge difference just to even get down and pick up something. You know, it's just massive flexibility as well.
Absolutely.
All these things are really important altogether. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not one thing. To me, those five things make you have an easier life in your day-to-day, walking around, doing what you're doing. It's not all about running.
I think that's so important, Olivia, because like sometimes people ask me, why do I train? And one of the big reasons I train, and I just do whatever I can, because sometimes my schedule is just a little bit crazy. But one of the things is to walk around in life feeling strong, feeling fit, feeling that I'm able for the day, feeling, you know, from doing a lot of sitting, you can get a lot of pain and stiffness in knees and hips and backs and necks and all sorts of stuff. And people who sit for a living will absolutely identify with that. So this is one of the big reasons why I train, because you get all of those benefits in your daily life. But then, of course, you can take it on another level and you can move into what you're doing, which is absolutely incredible. And I hope you get a great day. Is this the first marathon, Olivia, since COVID? The first Dublin City Marathon?
Yeah, I was just saying that to my husband this morning or yesterday. I think it's the first marathon I've run outside. I've done ultras in the outside, but that was only just in a kind of a smaller group. But I think this is the first marathon since COVID.
That's fantastic.
We had it down Galway or down in Cork and that, but yeah, the Dublin one. It's the first Dublin one.
Dublin one. So there's going to be such a buzz up there. And if you haven't been there, so I've been up there as well as a spectator. There's a great atmosphere. There's a fantastic buzz. And you can't help but get into the spirit of it, even on the sideline. It's just an amazing thing. Would you feel that as when you're running it, Olivia?
Oh, yeah. And when someone says, go on, Olivia, oh, my God, it's unbelievable how you get the buzz out of it. You know, it's unbelievable.
It's absolutely brilliant. Olivia, I want to wish you and all of the other thousands of runners across Ireland the very, very best of luck in the Dublin City Marathon. Thanks so much for coming on to share your story and what you're doing at the moment. And I can't wait to check in with you when you've done it and just see how you get on. Thanks a million, Olivia.
Thanks, Diane. Bye-bye.
I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Emma Ryan. She's a senior occupational therapist working in mental health. Emma, it's lovely to have you with us here today. Thanks very much for coming in.
And thanks, Diane, for having me.
Emma, your area of work is just so, so, so important. And I think probably increasingly important, particularly after COVID. Now, I know everybody is probably fed up listening to COVID, but it's just, you know, the more I'm out and about now and I'm talking to people and I'm back teaching in groups, people, they found it so, so hard. And I'd imagine that this has, in terms of your area, it's probably really evident. But I suppose before we get into that, will you just explain to us what is occupational therapy in mental health?
So I am an occupational therapist in mental health. So I have been working in mental health for the last 12 years now. And we work with people with a lived experience of mental health who find their daily activities difficult and challenging, and they maybe struggle with their routine. As an occupational therapist, or OT for short, we'd categorise our daily activities into three broad categories. These would be first and foremost self-care, which I suppose for me certainly I think is the most important thing. If we're not looking after ourselves, we're unable to look after anybody else. Work or productivity, so kind of this is very broad. It can be studying, working, volunteering, caring for people, looking after your home. And leisure activities, which are of equal importance, because this is where we can sometimes find a lot of joy and enjoyment in life. And as an OT, we look at these three areas and try to enable a person to have balance amongst these activities, which overall helps with your well-being and satisfaction with daily activities. So I suppose after a very long-winded explanation, I suppose OTs help others to help themselves, basically. So really working with people to kind of look at their routine and structure. We'd carry out assessments with some people, psychoeducation, looking at lifestyle, exercise, diet, and also looking at kind of motivation.
Yeah, and you know what? You've mentioned a couple of things there that are just so, so important. And like just in relation to self-care, okay, mm-hmm. So having worked with a lot of people over the last 20 years, and of course living my own life, it can be so, so common for us to put everyone else first and everyone else's mm-hmm. needs. And you want to do that. And you know, people have a natural urge to want to care for people and help people. But what happens, though, if you neglect yourself, it does eventually fall apart.
Absolutely. It leads to burnout. And really, I suppose I always think of kind of, if you go on an airplane, which hopefully all of us have been back on planes since the last 2 years, you know, the first thing an air hostess will say to you is to put on your own mask before you look after mm-hmm. any of your loved ones or your children. And I think that's something, you know, we need to keep with us in everyday life. And I suppose to treat ourselves as we'd treat our best friends.
Yes,
so it really
yeah.
comes back to kind of self-compassion as well as mm-hmm. self-care. So looking at kind of, I suppose treating ourselves as we treat others. So.
Yes, because it's not selfish. I've had this conversation so many times with people. And to be fair, it sometimes my deadlines and everything else gets put before myself. But then I know what happens. It can go wrong and I have to rebuild and restructure and do all these things. It is not selfish to actually sit down and look after yourself, because if you break down, then the whole system breaks down. Mm-hmm. And then the people that you're trying to help and care for and everything don't get the best of you. So it's actually very, very important to look after yourself, and then you're more able to do all of these things. So that's really, really important.
Yeah.
And I love the fact, and a massive shout out to all of the OTs in mental health out there for helping people to do that, because that's you know, it might sound like, well, surely we'd be able to do that, but it's a very difficult thing.
No, I think it's so difficult, and I think it's also very much out there in the public area at the moment, but I suppose it's kind of got a bit mixed up, I think, you know. And what exactly is self-care? I suppose the easiest way I find to describe it is just thinking about the acronym SELF. So S-E-L-F. So S stands for sleep. So really, if we're not getting 7 to 8 hours sleep a night, we're really not able to function at the optimum level. E is for two things. It's for eating and exercise. So looking at your diet, you know, ensuring you're getting your 5 a day, and looking at kind of portion control and different things like that. And exercise, I suppose exercise is the thing I do most in my everyday life and work. It's really promoting people to get out there and get active, because if you even just get for a little walk, you automatically feel a little bit better. And like, if all the better if you can get kind of your 30 minutes 5 times a week, but I know that's difficult, but if you can break that down into 5 minutes here and there, it can really, really make all the difference. L is very much for looking after yourself. So looking after illnesses, connecting with people, popping to the GP for your annual blood tests, different things like that. So just to look after yourself. And F, I think this is, it's my favourite one. It's finding something that you enjoy, or finding a bit of fun every day. So actually exploring what you're interested in, what you're enthusiastic about, or I suppose passionate about, but that can be a bit of a scary word. So sometimes it's really just about, is there something that you'd like to give a try to? I think what's wonderful now, I hate to mention the big C word again, COVID, but things are back, and you know, there's so much going on in the community at the moment. There's just so many different activities that are just popping up left, right and centre. So to maybe put yourself out there and give something new a go, like Zumba, or even pop into the library, going for a walk in the park. There's so many different things you can do.
I really, really like that acronym. The thing about the fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because I remember in with many, many years of doing consultation work, I've often asked people, what do you enjoy? So we'd look at how people are spending mm-hmm. their time, right? And it all starts to go wrong if you're spending all of your time doing things and there's not 1 ounce of fun or enjoyment in there, or something for yourself. And you know, that's when you lay it out then and you look at time contribution and there's like zero for myself, zero for fun. It does go wrong, because you have to feed your soul. You know, mm-hmm. you really have to feed that fun and enjoyment side of yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting when you ask people, what do you love to do? How, you know, if you had an extra 20 minutes in your day, if I just gave you that, you know, for people who are so busy, which is mm-hmm. true for so many of us, if I gave you an extra 20 minutes in the day, how would you spend it? What would you love to do? And what's interesting is a lot of people don't know.
And struggle to discover it. And then I think the other problem is there's so many distractions at the moment. And if we actually sat down and actually looked at exactly how we spent our day, we would actually see we probably have loads of time. But we're distracted by Netflix and social media and the TV and the news and
I think that's so important.
So I think, sometimes the first step is actually looking at how you spend your day. So actually just getting a calendar with every hour on it and categorising how you spend your day. And then as an occupational therapist, I would often then do either an activity or an interest checklist with the person to actually discover what they actually are interested in. And there might have been, I suppose these lists are quite long actually, there might have been something that they would have done maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and they're like, oh Jeannie, I'd love to maybe take up a bit of crochet again, or go to the gym or different, go to a yoga class. And then that's kind of, I suppose, where I'd start. And then sometimes we might go along to a yoga class or go along to a crochet group. Or and there's great things in Laois and Offaly kind of going on in those kind of, there's so many things, you just need to discover exactly what's going on.
So many, and we'll actually talk about those in a sec. But just before we go to break, just when you were saying about that, like, these are tools, I think, that you've mentioned two things that you don't realise how important they are until you do them. Mm-hmm. So we would often call that a time journal, right? Mm-hmm. So where you actually do sit down, especially if you're somebody that is really stressed, anxious, I have no time, I'm rushing from one minute of the day to the other. Now, let me tell you, I'm not sitting here preaching, because I've worked horrendous hours in my past and I've learned all of the mistakes. I've made all of the mistakes and learned from them as well. And I'm definitely not saying I have it right. So I'm not sitting here preaching. But what I will say is, I've done a time journal for myself, mm-hmm. and many of the people I've worked with mm-hmm. have done a time journal. And if you find that there's no what we call white space, so if every minute of every day is full and there's no white space, meaning there's nothing in that particular 10-minute time slot for you to relax, breathe, do something for yourself, mm-hmm. that is a fast track to a problem for physical health, for mental health, for well-being, for everything.
Absolutely.
So one of the things, just when you said it, that's something we can, if you're experiencing these problems, you can do that for yourself right now. You can do a time journal, you can look for white space. And the other thing that I would challenge you to do, based on what Emma has just said, because I absolutely agree, is do your fun list or your interest list, and sit down. And if you can't think of things that bring you joy and happiness and excitement and all of these things, that's okay, because maybe you haven't been engaging in those now. But sit down and think about it. And the more you, when you put a little bit of time into this, I'm sure, Emma, when you're working with people and you start, after a little bit of time and thinking, they're probably then able to get the ball rolling and think about things they'd like to do.
And then it's about kind of going back to looking at kind of your balance. So ideally, you should kind of have a balance of kind of your self-care time, so that's your sleep, eating, exercise, your work and your productivity, as I suppose all, my granddad always said, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So we can't spend all our time being 100% productive. It's actually not good for us. And then it's about looking at your leisure and your interests and having kind of a balance between them. And I suppose one day you might think, oh, Jeannie Mac, I've had a great day. I've achieved my balance. However, unfortunately, the next day it can all go out the window to some extent. So it is a constant journey. I suppose self-care and balance is kind of an everyday challenge, but I suppose it's about kind of trying to achieve, you know, the best you can, you know, because life does kind of throw spanners in the works at different times. But, you know, it is just about that constant, I suppose, reflection to some extent. Mm-hmm. If we always do what we always did, we'll always get what we always got.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes we have to kind of, if something's not working, we need to sit back and maybe do that that schedule, kind of to figure out how we can make our time a bit more enjoyable, a bit mm-hmm. more fun, a bit more meaningful and a bit more satisfying.
Sure, because balance is actually one of the most difficult things to achieve. It's mm-hmm. it's so difficult. And I think just in the age of social media mm-hmm. where, you know, especially if you spend a lot of time flicking through phones and you're thinking, wow, that person has it all sorted and everything is perfect and they're doing everything right and I can't achieve this because it's impossible. It's really important to notice, even in people who work in, like myself, who work in the health and the fitness and the nutrition industry and all of these things, nobody has it perfect.
Absolutely.
Nobody
not.
Gets it perfect yeah. every day. It doesn't happen because life gets in the way. The difference is that you just keep trying. Some days are great, some days not so great, but you just keep trying. You were talking about all of the great initiatives and activities that are happening in the Midlands at the moment, post-COVID, that we can now enjoy, mm-hmm. thankfully, which is great. And I know that one of the main drives in October is actually Laois Connects. Can you just tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, it's a fantastic initiative that's been running for the last number of years, but there is some fabulous activities going on around the County of Laois for the month of October, you know, from Mount Rath to Stradbally to Port Laois to Port Arlington. So please maybe check out their Facebook page is probably the best place to kind of find out what's going on. Yeah, there's just so much going on. I know yourselves.
We're so the Primetime of Life programmes and the Menowell programmes for menopause that I spoke about on previous shows are part of Laois Connects. And it's just, I think it's important to say that there are so many organisations and, you know, all working towards trying to promote mental health and physical health. And most of these initiatives, including our own, are funded. So they're free to take part in, which is really important because it removes at least a financial barrier. So please do check out the Laois Connects activities that are happening this month. And we were chatting this morning, Emma, and you mentioned the Midlands Recovery Education Service, which I think is really, really interesting. Will you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, so there's the Midlands Loud Me Recovery Education Service that was set up. I'm not getting this wrong now, but I think it was just set up just before the pandemic, so kind of early 2020, late 2019. And they run a variety of workshops around the Midlands, kind of talking a little bit about mental health recovery. So recovery would be kind of a unique journey for each person, and I suppose it's a way of connecting with other people with a lived experience of mental health. And I suppose the easiest way to explain recovery would be through the acronym of CHIME, which is around connecting with other people, hope for the future that, you know, there is light at the end of this tunnel. Identity, so, you know, figuring out who you are, meaning, and empowerment, so taking back control. So again, they have a great Facebook page and Twitter feed, so that's probably the best way to find out information about the Midlands Loud Me Recovery Education Service. And they have ran workshops in the libraries all around kind of Laois Offaly of late. So just keep an eye on their social media feeds for more information about them.
That's brilliant, Emma. Thanks a million, because I think it's important to say, and I love having these types of conversations, because the reality is most of us are going to have some type of a mental health challenge at some point in our lives. And, you know, especially people who are carers and have certain personalities, they might be inclined to want to hide this, whereas there is actually so much support available. And it's just to encourage people, all of us, to speak up and look around and see, is there anyone struggling and can we help in any way?
I think the first, you know, the first thing to do is maybe to connect with, it can be with other people with a lived experience of mental health, or it can be just even with your family. I suppose that's possibly the most important thing you can do for yourself, is to not be alone and feel alone with how you're feeling. So to really just to reach out and to connect with another person. And, you know, sometimes connecting maybe with a family member can be difficult, so that's when, you know, it's important to maybe to reach out for some help. And I suppose GPs are always a great first point of contact, and there's some other great services out there that are there to help.
Absolutely. So Emma, I could talk to you all day. I know you're very busy and you need to get back, but if you were to leave us with your top tip, what would it be?
To maybe just to look at self-care, really just to look at your lifestyle, and maybe, you know, if you can get on top of the self-care, then the other things often kind of start to fall into place. So, you know, looking at your sleep, eating, exercise, making sure that you're looking after yourself. If you've any niggles, just to pop to your GP, maybe to talk to them, and fun. So S-E-L-L-F, self.
Brilliant. Emma, thanks so much for joining me in studio.
Thanks, Diane.
And joining me now in studio is the lovely Ruth from EduFit. And Ruth, what are your top tips for this week?
Hi, Diane. So my top tips this week are going to focus on shopping tips. And my first one is actually a tip that I recommend people to do every couple of months, and it's before you go shopping. And it's to simply clean out your cupboards, your fridge and your freezer. And people are often surprised by this because oftentimes when you do actually clean out the cupboards, you'd be surprised what you'll find at the back of them. So, you know, you might find a can of sweet corn or a can of beans and you might say, oh, OK, maybe I'll have beans on toast for lunch tomorrow. I didn't realise I had them there. Or you might realise that there's actually a lot of stuff that's gone past its use by date and it's best before date. And a prime example of this would be things like flour and baking powder. I know a lot of people are surprised that these even have dates on them. And then when they realise when their baked goods are not turning out the way that maybe they wanted them to be, it can often be because they're out of date. So I highly recommend people to do that.
And I think that's very much in line with your tip as well for last week in terms of food waste. So it's just to refamiliarise yourself with what is actually in your freezer and in your press and to use it up before it does go out of date.
Absolutely. And it gives people inspiration as well. So if you found a bag of mixed stir fry veg that at the bottom of the freezer that you'd forgotten about, then you might say, OK, I'm going to have a stir fry tonight and tomorrow. So it's really a good idea to do that.
Great. Yep.
My next tip then is to meal plan and write a shopping list. Now, when I say meal plan, I don't mean you literally have to plan out all of your meals for the next week. I actually advise not doing that because a lot of people find that overwhelming. Generally, people find breakfast okay, but they often lack ideas for different lunch and dinner ideas. So what I would say is even write down 3 recipes for dinner or lunch or whatever it is that you find that you struggle most with, and write out your shopping list based on those 3 meals. Cook extra so you can have them over 2 days, and there you have your week's dinners sorted. So, and the other thing with that, with writing a shopping list, if you write the list and only stick with what's on your list, you'll be less likely to buy things that maybe you didn't need. So again, I would highly recommend doing that.
So even from an overspending perspective, and again, from a food waste perspective, because your statistics that you shared last week was 150 kilos
of
food waste per household, which obviously has financial implications as well. So that's another important tip.
Absolutely. And it's all of these small little things that you might think will not have an impact, but it's actually when you start doing these things, you'll realise, OK, I'm reducing the food that I'm wasting, I'm saving more money. So it all really does add up. And my final tip for this week is to avoid going shopping when stressed, tired or hungry, because we know that you're more likely to impulse buy treat foods and to buy foods on spot.
Guilty.
I think we're all guilty of that, you know, and it's generally not a banana we're going to reach for. It's probably the chocolate bars that are on special offer. But just on that, actually, on special offers, they can offer good value. But the key here is that they only are beneficial if you actually need them or if you will actually use them. So there's no point buying things on special offer if you're not going to use them, because you're going to waste them and it's just money down the drain, literally.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I know the difference even myself if I go hungry to do the shop or not. And finally, Ruth, are you going to leave us with another delicious recipe for this week?
I am. So if you were listening to Midlands 103 last week on breakfast with Peter, you would have heard the big debate whether pineapple should be going on pizza or not. Now, I know I'm team pineapple on pizza.
Me too.
Peter won't be happy with us with that. So my recipe this week is pizza wraps. Really quick, really nutritious option, or an alternative to maybe a takeaway pizza or a frozen pizza. All you'll need is a tortilla wrap. Preferably choose the whole grain options. You'll need 2 tablespoons of pasta sauce or maybe even passata, a sprinkle of grated cheese on top, and then literally whatever you have at home to put on top. So it could be chicken, it could be a vegetable pizza, it could be pineapple, which I'm going to be putting on my pizza, and that will be up on the Midlands 103 social media channels and on their newsletter. So stay tuned for that.
Thanks very much, Ruth. And the kids generally love that as well. And the fun in making it as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ruth. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining me on the Health and Fitness Show. A special thanks to all of my guests and everyone who has tuned in. If you missed any part of this show or indeed previous shows, you can simply search the Health and Fitness Show, Dr. Leanne Cooper, Midlands 103, and you will be able to get it on midlands103.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm always delighted to hear questions, suggestions and any topics that you'd like me to cover over the next few weeks, or indeed if you'd like to join me, you can email me on healthandfitness@midlands103.com. So have a lovely weekend, everybody, and I'll see you next week.